And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. It's Thursday, February the 8th. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Dan Walker.
The other Cradle.
The Cradle.
The
Cradle
Convert.
And Cradle Show.
The Convert is in Florida for a month or two. He's off on rehab, as I like to call it. He's rehabilitating.
He just needs an excuse to get down there again.
He does. And he
can't rehab up here.
We may give him a call sometime while he's in Florida, and we'll chat with him, see how he's doing. But greetings from the Annunciation Studio here at WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio, located on the beautiful campus of St. Mary's Hospital at 1800 East Lakeshore Drive here in Decatur. We're going to talk a little bit today about some HSHS stuff, especially a health needs assessment for Macon County. We have a special guest in the studio, Dan, that's going to join us and talk about the health needs assessment, how you as listeners can participate in the health needs assessment, and what St. Mary's and all of the health providers here in Macon County do with this information that they're provided.
Yeah, in fact, I wasn't even aware that they conducted such a thing, so I'm anxious to learn more about it.
Yeah.
And how the information utilized and how we as citizens of the area can participate.
Well, I think it's great, too, because they take grassroots information, you know, from people like you and me and the people that use the health providers here in Decatur and Macon County, as well as, I guess, we're doing this all over central Illinois. But we're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to talk to Kim Luz, who is the Director of Community Outreach for HSHS Hospital Systems here in Central Illinois. And everybody can get a pen and paper handy so you can write down this web address when we get to that. And you can help take the Community Health Assessments Need project here. You can do it online. So
participate and contribute.
That's right. So you're here with Dave Slade and with Dan Walker on WDCR 88.9, 96.5, The Cradle and the Convert, Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois. We'll be right back.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute on Relevant Radio. Have you ever heard someone say, the Catholic Church is too condemning? It needs to practice more tolerance. G.K. Chesterton says, the other word for tolerance is indifference, and the other word for indifference is apathy. The Catholic Church cannot afford to be apathetic. It cannot afford to be tolerant of evil. It has to be consistent in opposing what is wrong and defending what is right. And the Church especially cannot afford to tolerate social evils that are condoned by the state. Why? Because sooner or later, it'll be turned against the Church. History has shown this to be true more than once. Chesterton says there have been times in history when the Church has been wedded to the world, but it has always been widowed by the world. Want more than a minute? Chesterton.org.
Welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert with Dave Slade and Dan Walker. We have a special guest in the studio this morning. Her name is Kim Luz, and she is the Director of Community Outreach for the HSHS Hospital System here in Central Illinois. Kim has a Master's in Science degree from Western Illinois University and is Certified Health Educational Specialist. And as I was looking online, I saw where you were awarded a very nice award sometime back for an up-and-coming... What was the award, the name of the award, Kim?
Tomorrow's Leader through
Tomorrow's
the Catholic
Leaders.
Health Association.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Great. Well, we're really happy to have you on the show today and to have you in town. I guess you've done some rounds and have spoken on a couple of the radio stations and gotten out what you're trying to tell us today, and that is the HSHS St. Mary's Hospital Health Needs Assessment, with also in conjunction with DMH and I thought, that's not, well, I can edit that out. HSHS Health Needs Assessment for Macon County. So, Kim, welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. We're sure glad you could be here this morning. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what a health needs assessment is?
Sure thing, Dave and Dan. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. A community health needs assessment is essentially we are partnering with the community to identify any existing data, but then also to gather some primary data or perception data to see what the community's perception of their greatest needs are. Our goal at the end of the day is to go through a very comprehensive process and a prioritization process to rank the top needs of Macon County. And then we'll take some time to develop what we call an implementation strategy that will identify how we will go about meeting those needs over the next 3 years. That will really guide how we budget resources, how we look at human resources, as well as monetary resources, and how we look at partnerships that we will need to invest in throughout the community to help meet needs identified.
So one of these was done 3 years ago.
Correct.
And needs were identified specific to Decatur and Macon County.
Yes.
And steps were taken. So basically it was a plan was set to make some objectives to lead to a goal, which was to the better health, to identify what people in Macon County need to improve their health.
Yes, exactly. And this is something that, you know, informally, HSHS hospitals in Illinois and Wisconsin, we've done a health needs assessment for years and years. It really is part of our mission. It's who we are as Catholic Healthcare, and it guides how we are going to give back to the community and really meet a need for many populations, but specifically vulnerable populations. Now, through the Affordable Care Act, it is now a mandate for all nonprofit hospitals to do a community health needs assessment every 3 years. So it's a triennial process. Mm-hmm. This came out around 2011, and we did our first health needs assessment in 2012, and then our last health needs assessment was completed in 2015. And in that assessment, we identified access to care, mental health, and unmanaged chronic conditions. And this fiscal year that we are currently in, 2018, is the last year to that three-year cycle. So we kind of have a parallel approach here. We're wrapping up the last cycle. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're completing the comprehensive needs assessment so we can kick off the next three-year cycle.
I see. And when it comes to identifying these problems and coming up with the resources, is that something that HSHS does in conjunction with the health department, or who assists in that?
That's a great question. And we always look for partners, because we know the more people that we have representing all demographics and all populations within the county, the better idea we have of the county's needs. But also to note, it is mandated through IRS that we bring to the table individuals who represent all demographics, individuals who represent people with disabilities, individuals who represent ethnic and minority populations, all populations across all socioeconomic statuses, and then also all age groups. So we have a very robust, what we call external community group that we bring around the table to help us identify the needs. And then they will also help us go through a forced ranking process to get to our top three needs.
Wow. So this is where a situation where people can help you identify what the needs in the community are. The people that live here can help identify what they feel the issues are in Decatur and Macon County, whether that's mental health needs, homeless, STDs, can be any of that type of thing.
Do you also get input, I guess, from all the medical professionals, doctors, nurses, and from the professional part of what they see the needs are and resources that they need to do their job better?
Yeah. So we have healthcare providers that assist us. We also have social service providers, and then just the general public. And, you know, what you were speaking to, Dan, is a little more of that assets and gaps. So once we get to the point where we've identified the three areas that we are going to develop an implementation plan around, then we do what we call an assets and gaps. And we will definitely talk with our healthcare providers and then others in the community to say, okay, we have these three issues. Now, what resources do we have that could assist us in either enhancing a current strategy or developing a strategy? And then where are the gaps that we see that we might need to put a little additional resources to developing something to fill the gap to meet a need?
Such as currently is the opioid crisis.
Exactly.
Probably wasn't addressed as fully maybe 3 years ago.
Correct.
And now it's front and center. It might be the number one on the list.
Right.
You know, for a...
And you know, we do, we start off this process by looking at secondary data. We look at data that we are allowed to access, or we are able to access through what we call Illinois comp data. And so this is information from hospitals, and this is also information from other healthcare entities about why people are visiting the hospital, what their diagnoses are. And then we also access data through the state and through other modalities. And we started off with about 25 to 30 priorities. And from that point, we went through a forced ranking process and we narrowed the list down to 9 priorities. And what we're asking the community to do now is to give us their perception on what they feel to be the main health issues that are facing Macon County as a whole. And the list that we are presenting to the community, I can read through that right now, and it's in no order. This is just an alphabetical order, but access to care, chronic conditions, employment, food access and food insecurity, mental health, poverty, sexually transmitted infections, substance abuse specific to drug use, and violent crime. So those are the 9 issues that this process has led us to date. And we now are inviting the community to go onto a website, which I'll give you that website. It's go.uis.edu/CHNA. And we're asking them to just take about 10 to 15 minutes to fill out some information. We ask for some demographic data because we want to be able to see how different populations and different demographics respond. Mm-hmm. So that way we can better target how we will approach meeting those needs. And then we also ask the community to tell us what they feel are the top 5 priorities out of that list of 9 and why they feel that is. And then we allow for the community to tell us whether or not they think we missed something that should be on this list. So it's really open-ended. We know that we could always look to the data to tell us what the top needs are, but if we don't invite the community to tell us from their perception, then we're completely missing the mark.
Yeah, because if people don't come to basically, let's say, the emergency room or the physicians because of monetary issues, you won't even know that feedback to have it included in the data.
Exactly.
And so you're totally missing out for those who don't participate in the health services.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And, you know, data tells us one thing, but somebody's perception tells us something completely different. You know, when we go, we always use the example of the smoking is bad for you, and then you have the kid that said, but my grandfather smoked until he was 85, and he led a perfectly healthy life. And so in that individual's mind, their perception is not that smoking is a threat to their health. So that's why we always want to look at what does the hard data tell us, but then what is the perception of the community? And how can we marry those two and really look at a way that we can empower, engage, and activate people to take control of their own health?
Well, and you know, Central Illinois, especially Decatur and Macon County, is so very diverse. I mean, we have problems of larger urban areas like Springfield, Peoria, even Chicago, just not on a daily basis in the same way. And then we also have the rural communities where many of them are still living like Mayberry, you know, where they don't, other than the schools, because it's everywhere in the schools, but it's a very diverse community here in Central Illinois. And I think that is a great way to find out what everybody thinks the major problems are. And I'll bet it's a broad spectrum of everybody rating 1 through 5 on this thing of what the problems are, depending on where you live. But as being a countywide assessment, you know, that way everybody's taken into account. It's just too bad we can't get everybody to take this short, very short survey.
Yeah.
I took it before the show, and it took me, I think, about 7 minutes. And that's because I wrote some comments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't just rate what I wanted to rate without explaining why I wanted to rate it. I wanted to do that. But I guess if you want to just punch in a number, you can do that. But I think it helps to have some of the feedback, too.
Oh, you know, it most definitely does.
On your list, you mentioned of some of the top or higher priorities, access to care, employment, that sort of thing. I know 10 years ago, most people had a $250 deductible, $500 deductible. And now it seems like they're all $5,000, $6,000 deductibles. That alone, I think, also prevents people from going. Is that something that this assessment can, you can share that information in the assessment? Also, as far as the cost of healthcare?
Well, that's something that we will definitely look at in terms of access to healthcare. So when we talk about access to care, it's not just healthcare, but it's also access to meeting those basic needs. And one of the things that we really look at, especially when we're talking about access, is we can define access from so many different points. But what we want, again, with the community's feedback is tell us what your access barriers are. If your access barriers are deductibles, then we can deduce from that that you might not go for the care that you need because your deductible is high. So how can we work with you, or what can we do with you? And that kind of feedback will really guide how we do our implementation strategy, which is why it is so critical that we hear from the community.
Now, you mentioned this information goes to the Internal Revenue Service. Mm-hmm. What do they do with it?
I don't know.
I mean, you mentioned before that HSHS did this anyway before it was mandated.
Yes.
Because us being a Catholic organization, we are called to serve.
Yes.
And so we want to make sure that since we're a nonprofit, we are serving generally those in need. It makes sense mm-hmm. for us to find out what the needs are so we can service them properly. So I'm just curious to know how. And you also mentioned that maybe you don't know this answer. It's mandated for nonprofits. How about for-profit hospitals?
It's not a mandate for for-profits, but that does not mean that they don't do their own form of needs assessment to guide the way their dollars are put back into the community. Now, I do know the end of every one of our fiscal years, we file reports to the IRS, and we take components of our health needs assessment and we put it in there, and we give them some narrative and we also give them some outcomes. So I kind of ingest that I don't know. You know, we do file a report to the IRS and they do review that information year to year.
And this also deals with mental health issues, you said, too.
Yes.
Indicator, you'll see people occasionally that appear to be homeless. And I was a police officer for 30 years, and I've been retired for 10 now, but I didn't really see the homeless people the way there are now. You know, they do in October, they do a count here locally and determine there's a lot of people living in cars in places where, you know, they don't have a home. And some of that stems from mental health issues. Some of it stems from disabled veterans. I think a lot of it stems from addicts, people that are addicted to different drugs, especially, as we said, opioids. And that is one of the categories that is listed on this thing as mental health.
It is, and I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, those individuals don't always have a voice. And we cannot always get information from them. The
yes.
way we can offer a health or a survey to the community online, we can offer hard copies. But, you know, they don't always have a voice. And that's one of the reasons why our external committees are made up of individuals who represent those populations. Because we truly do want the voice of everybody to be reflected in our health needs assessment.
All right, let me tell everybody, we're talking to Kim Luz today, the Director of Community Outreach for HSHS Hospital Systems. That's the main organization that runs St. Mary's Hospital here. We're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to talk again about how you, the listeners, can get involved in taking this survey and how we encourage you to do that. And we'll be back in just a second.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm here with Dan Walker, my co-host, and Kim Luz, the Director of Community Outreach for the HSHS Hospital Systems here in Central Illinois. Now, Kim, we were talking about the survey and about how we can go online to take it. And we'll give that address again here in a minute and give you, our listeners, a chance to get a pencil and a piece of paper. But what if I'm not online and I don't have access to a computer? How can my voice be heard, Kim?
And that's a great question. We have some hard copies at Macon County Health Department. And so you're welcome to go into Macon County Health Department and take one of the surveys there, and then they will turn them into us.
Oh, okay. So you can pick one up at the desk, fill it out there, or bring it back, however you want, and give it back to the health department, and they'll see that you get it.
Exactly.
That's great. And I'm going to give you a second here to fill us in on if there's anything else that we need to know in particular about this survey. I know that the last one, everything was identified and we've worked on that. Do you recall what some of the past ones were, the the past problems were identified 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, back in 2015, we identified access to care, mental health, and unmanaged chronic conditions.
Unmanaged chronic conditions. What are some examples of that?
So examples of that might be diabetes. That's a chronic condition that is manageable through lifestyle, through medication, through consistent healthcare follow-ups, hypertension, cholesterol, things like that, various heart disease.
Okay.
Things like that are manageable if you have access. Again, there's that word access to your management pharmaceuticals, to your healthcare provider, to the appropriate healthcare in the appropriate setting, and also to the appropriate food. You need a certain type of nutrition, etc.
Yeah. Okay, great. Here's the website for those of you at home that may want to take this. And this is really easy. You know, if I can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Went to my web browser and I typed in www.go.uis.edu/CHNA. Now, or is that backslash? It's the one.
It's forward. I call it forward slash.
It's the one you use the most. It's on the question mark on your keyboard. go.uis.edu/CHNA to do the online survey. It takes just a few minutes, and that is valuable information for people that are going to address the health issues here in Macon County, especially in the city of Decatur, where St. Mary's Hospital is located.
Now, if they can't remember that, they don't have a pen to write that down, what's the parent website, so to speak, that they may be able to find a link to it?
You can find a link to it from St. Mary's website. So you could even Google St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur, Illinois, and then on our Community Connections page.
Okay. And I'll put it on our Facebook page, too, where people can just go right to the link from our Facebook page, which is 88.9, 96.5 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.
Now, there's only a certain amount of time, though, that we're taking the information, correct?
Exactly. So this website will close out, the survey will close at 11:59 p.m. on February 12th. And something else to mention, we are doing the survey in 8 other counties. And so when you go on the website, you'll see a drop-down box. And so from there, you can click it and make sure you click on Macon County so that your responses come back to the Macon County Health Needs Assessment.
So we have now till this coming Monday.
Till this coming Monday.
To get this completed. And please participate. We'd love to. There's your opportunity to share your thoughts and your issues, and maybe not even you have any issues, but maybe a friend or relative that somebody else you see at church, they're battling some issues and challenges, and the input that you put in might be able to make changes here and in the long run.
And, of course, we recommend for all your health care needs that you stop into your HSHS hospital or doctor. They're all over Central Illinois. There's Effingham, Springfield,
St. Francis,
Decatur,
yep, St. John's.
Are there others? Taylorville have one. Shelbyville's got a new clinic.
Shelbyville is Good Shepherd Hospital in Shelbyville.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we also have in Central Illinois St. Francis Hospital in Montgomery County in Litchfield. And then we have, of course, St. John's Hospital in Springfield and St. Mary's here in Decatur. Those are our 4 Central Illinois hospitals.
Great. Kim, thanks so much for joining us this morning and sharing this important information on how to stay healthier here in Macon County and for how we can help with that assessment, how we can have input to help figure out where the dollars are going to go to help the community the most. Okay?
Thank you for your time.
One more time, I'm going to give you that web address, folks. It's go.uis.edu/CHNA. Kim, thanks so much for joining us. You're welcome back anytime. You said there's something coming up in April that we'd love to have you come back and fill our listeners in and keep us abreast of all the great things that are going on in the HSHS community.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Dan and I will be back in a few minutes with a gospel preview, a community calendar, and who knows what else. Cradle and the Convert, 88.9, 96.5, WDCR. This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 8th. Today we celebrate St. Josephine Bakita. Born to a wealthy Sudanese family in 1869, Josephine was kidnapped at age 9 by slave traders who gave her the name Bakita, meaning lucky. Over the next decade, the girl was sold several times and forced to endure repeated humiliations and beatings. Eventually, a public servant bought Bakita and turned her over to a family in Italy where slavery was illegal. Employed as a nanny, Bakita became acquainted with the Catholic faith as she accompanied her young charge to religious education classes. She took the name Josephine at her baptism in 1890. Several years later, she joined the Daughters of Charity, also known as the Canossian Sisters, in Italy. Known for her gentle presence and her willingness to undertake any task, Josephine worked quietly as a cook, seamstress, and doorkeeper. Later in life, she became a noted speaker who raised funds to support the missionary efforts of her religious community. Josephine's final years were marked by pain and sickness. After her death in 1947, thousands came to pay respects to the former slave. At her canonization in the year 2000, Pope John Paul II called Josephine Baqueta a woman of heroic goodness.
Saint of the Day is underwritten by State Farm agent Diane Sullivan, 2950 North Water Street. Diane's office phone is 875-5711.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here.
All right. I am hope for all. We're here with the gospel preview for Sunday. Dan Walker is going to give us the preview of what you will hear this Sunday at Mass.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of like if there were cameras back in the day, the paparazzi would have been chasing Jesus around, trying to get pictures of him and videos of him doing his miracles. And I struggle sometimes. I guess Jesus didn't want to be known as the sideshow that's coming to town, you know, come watch this man cure a leper or raise the dead or whatever. But it seems like every time he told somebody, "Now don't go and tell all about this," that's the first thing they did. And I suppose maybe that's human nature. You know, they were excited about what had happened to him and wanted to share it. But he always proclaimed, you know, "Don't tell anyone, my time is not here." And that's the first thing they went and did.
And, you know, if you look at the beginning, what brought the leper to Jesus was his faith.
Yeah.
And that's really what Jesus is, I think, the reason why Jesus healed him, because the leper showed faith in Jesus Christ as being God or Savior. And then you have the other side of humanity as far as boasting. And I don't think Jesus wanted the publicity. If anything, he wanted the leper to go out and be a example mm-hmm. of what faith can do.
Yeah.
Not the verbal, but just of the living proof. Look at me now and see how faith can heal.
Well, and there were times, of course, when Jesus preached to 5,000 and 7,000 people. I think in my opinion, he would perform these miracles of the believers. And I think what he wanted to prevent was just people coming to him strictly for their own selfish purposes of being healed, not to come to believe that he was the Savior of the world, but that he was this magician, so to speak, or a guy that could save your life. Or, you know, they weren't looking for him at the right reason, at the right time.
I think the healing really loses all purpose. Even though a compassionate man as Jesus Christ was,
yeah,
faith is what what it's all about.
Well, and he was the all-knowing God. When he told these people, don't go tell everybody this, he knew they were going to. I mean, you know, it's like...